This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk.
Welcome to Over the Influence, our alcohol-free podcast. My name's Sharon Hartley, otherwise known as Shazza. I am 46 years old, married to Paul, three children, two teenagers and one 11-year-old. And with me is Freddie.
Hello, I'm Freddie Bennett. I am 38 years old and I live in Liverpool with my two children and my wife. I was once in that stressed, heavy drinking corporate world, but then I chose to stop drinking alcohol, broke some world records, ran some ultra marathons, and started to try and live a better life.
We are now at episode 4 of Over the Influence, and today's topic is Quitlet.
Don't say that one after a couple of drinks.
Quitlet, Freddie. what is Quitlet? I suppose it's the giving up alcohol or reducing alcohol version of Chiclet. And it's all about the books that are out there that maybe you would have never, ever considered picking up unless you'd embarked on this journey. It sounds really cheesy saying that, this journey, but that's what it is.
It is. That's, it's all very Californian, is it? Like, yeah, we're all on this journey together.
And I think one of the joyous things about this journey is that removing alcohol enabled me to bring back my love of reading, because I didn't have to read chapter after chapter again, because at night when I wasn't, three sheets to the wind or a couple of large glasses of wine in, I started reading again. And one of the tools that's helped me massively get to where I am today and stay away from alcohol was reading all the books that are out there. I didn't even know these books existed.
No.
till we started talking about it. And wow. So before we take a look at the books available out there to help you and to educate you about alcohol, Freddie, do you read?
I do read, yes. And I have actually graduated from books with pictures to actually books with like full on paragraphs and chapters
well
and everything. I am quite proud of myself with that. I do read. For a long time, I didn't read any particular like self-development books or anything. I just read for pleasure because it was nice. With hectic jobs and kids running around and everything, there's always this like lovely image of you just on the sofa with your oat milk latte, just saying, "Oh, I'm loving to develop myself." And for me, it was like I'd read one book a year, hopefully on holiday before the kids got too old, where they're always like spraying water on me and everything else. But I didn't really. And to be honest, I've got the other point of view, so I haven't really got into Quitlet, but I've certainly read a few books in my time. In the most recent years, there's two books that really stood out for me. The first is the iconic David Goggins' Can't Hurt Me, and the second is Tony Robbins, almost a bit of a rhyme there, Goggins and Robbins. It's Tony Robbins and Awaken the Giant Within. Let's start with good old Anthony Robbins, or Tony, as his friends call him, and I'm definitely not his friend. But I read that book about three times because it's a hell of a book. It's a bit of a brick. But the first two times I read it, it would be the typical thing where, as you say, you'd have a few glasses on a Saturday night, and I'd be like, oh crikey, I better undo all that badness by trying to develop myself a bit. So I'd read a couple of pages, then you sort of do the thing where you wake up at 2 a.m. and you've got the book on your head and you've dribbled over the pages and everything else. And I didn't really take too much in then, but then I reread it after I stopped drinking, and then it made a lot more sense. There's so much good stuff in there, but the one sentence that always sticks in my mind is, ironically, about books and stories. It's change your story, change your life. And that's really about, we tell ourselves so many different stories. We've all got this internal monologue going on inside our heads, and that could have come from our childhood or past experiences or just the lies that we tell ourselves. And the story that you say could be, I'm not going to be able to stop drinking, or I'm always the person that is the last person at the bar, or I'm the person that always loves to have a glass of wine on a Saturday night. And we tell ourselves these stories, and that's the person we become. But what Tony says is that if you change that story, you can change your life. And that was certainly true for me. And when Yeah, when you start saying, why do I have to be that person I've always told myself that I will be? Why can't I tell myself a different story that I'm powerful, that I'm empowered, that I am good enough? And if you start telling yourself that story, then you start to see these small changes happening to you. And it's these things that you start to realize that you can do. And you transform almost between being that person who told themselves that they weren't good enough, that they couldn't do something. And then you think, well, why not me? Why don't I deserve this? Why don't I deserve to have the best life possible? And that's still words that I try and live by today.
Freddie, do you think you'd be saying what you're saying now, having read that book, but still be drinking?
I'm going to say something really cheesy now. I'd be saying the words, but I wouldn't be living the life.
That is so cheesy. Proper Lancashire, that. Crumbly Lancashire.
Yeah. Maybe I could. I don't know. Maybe this is me. You know, Tony, if you're listening, I'm sure you will be soon. Then if you need me to come on stage with you, I'll do it. But yeah, I think there's that thing, isn't there, where I'm a big believer in taking action. And I believe that you can read all the books that you want. And I think as we're going to see, Quit Lit and personal development books are so important and a real new perspective and an eye opener on how you can change your life. But nothing replaces action. It's like people say you can read a book on press ups, but that's not going to get you any fitter. Yeah. And I think it's the same with Tony Robbins's book. I knew that I could read the words, but if I didn't take any action or if I didn't do anything differently, then my life wasn't going to change.
So you're talking about books that are all to do with self-development and bettering yourself and maybe a clearer mind and that sort of thing. But you've not actually sat down and read books specifically to do with quitting alcohol?
No, I haven't. I am a quit lit free zone. And I think,
why do you think that is? Why?
Let me say to start with, I think Quit Lit is awesome and it's hugely important and it's helped so many people. But I think, to be honest, it's a bit of a blokey thing. And when I started my alcohol-free journey, it was probably a bit stupid and a bit naive and therefore a bit manly of me to say, I don't need this quit lit. I'm going to power through and man up and grow a pair and all these stupid masculine expressions. I think I probably made my journey more difficult by not going through the quit lit space. But for me, it was partly time. I was so busy with work and with kids and with trying not to have a meltdown because I wasn't drinking as much as I used to. And partly it was just thinking, that's a bit soft and fluffy. And that's probably what I think a lot of predominantly men out there will say. But there is another reason as well. I know on Over the Influence, we always try and give the honest, no boundaries approach. And I think for me, really, that was because I was scared. And I think in the early days, I was worried about reading Quit Lit and it hitting a little bit too close to home and holding up a mirror about myself.
Yeah, it absolutely does. I can completely agree with that.
And it's that, and that's a scary thing because it's not, I mean, you know, with, I'm not saying, as everyone does, you know, I didn't have a serious problem with alcohol, but I was definitely drinking too much. And all of a sudden, if you're reading, I was a bit embarrassed, and it's almost like, could I imagine myself sitting on the tube reading a Quit Lit book and not the whole other carriage just thinking, uh-oh, there's a guy with a drink problem or something. And now I think I'd read it and I'd be proud, and to coin the song, you know, I'd just say, this is me. But
the bearded one with big...
Thank you, Shatter. Wow, that's...
I did want to say that was Ben.
I can take it.
But yeah, I think there's all the usual excuses that the guys can give about, yeah, don't have time, too busy. But the real truth is I was scared to read it because I didn't know what I was going to read. And I was a bit embarrassed that people would see me reading it and think that I'd been sleeping on a park bench the night before. But I'm all for it, Shazza. If you can convince me in this episode, I was going to say get down the bookshop, but maybe get on an online retailer that sells books. And I will try and read a full Quit Lit book without even any pictures in it.
Well, there are loads out there, definitely. And you're talking about your reasons why you didn't choose to read Quit Lit. The reasons why I did was because when I started out wanting to give up alcohol, I wanted to arm myself with every tool possible. So I sort of did it giving up alcohol by numbers. And it was, right, obviously don't have any alcohol in the house, don't go out. And when I made all these changes, I had all this more free time on my hands. And I thought, I know, I shall pick up a book because I had more time to do it, particularly in the evenings. And one of the, you know, one of the key tools when we've talked amongst other friends that are giving up alcohol is to read, read, read. And I think in part, I do agree a bit with you. It is a bit girly, some of the books. You've got The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober by Catherine Gray. And the other one is The Sober Diaries, and the author escapes me at the moment. Well, that was another woman. And it was her tale of how she quit alcohol after developing breast cancer. So you have these books that are written by women, not necessarily for women, but I think there's a huge female audience. And then on the other side of these stories that are people sharing their personal journeys, you've got the more scientific books, and there's This Naked Mind and Alcohol Explained. This Naked Mind, written by Annie Grace, obviously a female author, and Alcohol Explained, written by William Porter. Both of those books are quite a technical read, quite a scientific read, but it actually, for me, it filled in a lot of the gaps and answered a lot of questions as to why, for example, a moderation, why some people can't moderate, and once when you've had that one drink, what it actually does to your brain. And for me, that was an absolute game changer, reading why, you know, you'd go out with this mentality of, I'm only going to have three drinks and that is me done. Yet when you take that first large glass of Pinot and it hits the spot, all this stuff starts going on in your brain, and the chances of having only three are really, really unlikely. And for me, it was Alcohol Explained by William Porter that was the game changer, and it just made me get it. And then from that point onwards, it clicked.
Yeah.
It really did.
I think certainly I can see the benefit of it, because in those dark early days when you're thinking, well, in a way, it's those bright early days, because you're thinking, right, I'm going to do something different with my life. I'm going to turn things around. I'm going to be the person that I know I can be. But then you're sat in the house on your own on a Saturday night and you're thinking, you know, you're sort of tapping your fingers on the table and thinking, right, is this it? But then I can see the value of Quitlet, because it's almost like, it's like having a shazza sat on your sofa telling you all about it. Before Over the Influence came out, you know, this is what people had to rely on. But it is, I think, just to read someone else's story and to be able to empathise with it and say, oh, yeah, oh, that's a bit like me. And, oh, yeah, that's why my brain thinks like that. I can see it can be a massive support for people.
Talking of that, and just referring back to The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober, written by Catherine Gray, that was an absolutely phenomenal read. It's superb. And it's all about, obviously, how she was such a massive drinker. She worked in publishing or something in London. And to read it at times, it made you wince. Because it was a case of, oh, God, I've done that.
Yeah.
That's me. You know, and it was cringe at times. But I remember one particular chapter in the book. She talks about how she was gardening, and she's thinking, oh, God, is this as good as it gets? Last spring, when it was my first sort of summer without alcohol, you know, when the barbecues start and all the invites start and your friends are out drinking in the beer gardens. And I thought, right, okay, I'll do what Catherine Gray did. I'm going to go and start tinkering in my garden. My God. It looked like the Tat and Flower Show by the time I finished. And
amazing.
It really was. It was joyous.
Yeah.
It was absolutely joyous. And there are moments in that book, and it really is the unexpected joy of being sober. And for me, again, it was about just, like you said before, Freddie, just empathising with somebody else that had been there and done that, and just textbook, just following it, you know.
Yeah, but it's interesting because you say, I mean, I've, you know, being obviously a man, I've always thought of that as, you know, the authors you mentioned there are female, and it's targeted at a big female audience. And I was always, I say, struggling to find something with more of a male voice. And although I haven't read any Quitlet books, I have written one.
Oh.
Yeah, I have. So this is not a plug for my book, because I can't get anyone to publish it, and it's definitely not available on Amazon at the moment. But For me, what surprised me was that I had the time and the focus and the energy to actually sit down and write 70,000 words. And that's one of the main benefits of going alcohol-free for me.
Have you read any of it back yet?
I have, yeah. I've read the whole
thing.
What's
it like when you read it back? Is it like, oh, my God, this was me?
Yeah, it is weird. I do read it as someone else. And to be honest, it was quite a painful process because I had to go, my view is to help people, then you've got to be no holds barred and you've got to be honest. Yeah. So I, you know, you go through some of the stories and some of the reasons why I was drinking and some of the admittedly amazing times I had. You know, you have the highs of the Vegas pool parties and the lows of drug dealers holding a gun to your head. So, you know, it's an equal story.
It's all about balance.
Yes, definitely. For me, I mean, just to have a bit of focus, just to sit there and put all that noise and all that crap and all that rush hour of thoughts and traffic that's going around your brain, just trying to sit down for a few minutes every day and just writing, how am I feeling today? What do I want to achieve? What am I grateful for? And that turned into writing 1,000 words and then 5,000 words and 10,000 words. And then before I knew it, I was sat there with a pipe and a silk dressing gown and a cravat. And I was saying, I'm an author, darling. And now if I really try hard, I could be a penniless, unpublished author.
There you go.
And that's the next goal.
It's really interesting what you said about journaling, because when I set out to do this, you know, to give up alcohol for a set period of time, tried journaling and I thought, I can't be arsed with that. That's not for me. However, I did start sort of blogging my story. Mm. Not my story, no, it wasn't my story. I just, every day I would write a post and save it and talk about my feelings that day. And then what happened, I suppose it was a form of journaling.
Yeah, definitely.
And like you, I've got it all there. Mm. One day, maybe I could wear a cravat also and a housecoat to publish.
One day we might both be in Waterstones or another chain of bookstores. We'll both be there. You'll be signing autographs and I'll be serving you coffee and sandwiches.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's, you know, teamwork makes the dream work, doesn't it?
But what I wanted to do, I wanted to move away from, I've talked about this in a previous podcast we've done. I wanted to move away from the Wine Mummy Drinks Gin and It's Wine O'Clock and all these bloggers that I followed, you know, that sort of said it's okay once the clock hits 5 o'clock to start drinking. Mm. And I used to read a lot of that and go, hey, and pour another wine as I was reading it.
Because they say it's all okay.
It's all okay, so it must be. Exactly that. And I made a conscious decision to delete all those accounts and stop reading all that and read the polar opposite. And for me, it absolutely worked a treat and I can't recommend Quitlet enough. So we're just going to take a quick break now from this episode of Over the Influence, which we really do hope you're enjoying as much as we are. We just want to say a couple of thank yous and give a couple of shout outs circa 1992. Don't even know why I did it in a Manchester accent. A couple of shout outs to people that have visited all our social media pages, who've emailed and also who've so kindly donated to the production costs of Over the Influence. We've had a couple of messages to our Facebook page. Sue has been in touch and she says that she wishes us all the best. And she shared with us that Sue's navigated some really trying times without alcohol and she has been alcohol free for many, many years, she says. But she still just tackles it one day at a time and amazing, Sue, keep it up. And Sally has also been in touch with the Facebook page. She wanted to say a huge thank you to us both, that's you and me, Freddie, for putting this together and sharing our experiences on this journey. She says it's been so very helpful. Well, we are glad to help. We hope you're enjoying the podcast. And we really want to say a huge thank you to Vega Sal and Carol Ray, who have visited the website. They found us at soundrebel.co.uk/overtheinfluence. And what they've done, they've gone on and pressed the big blue button and ever so kindly chucked some money into the pot. This goes basically back into the future episodes. As we know, listening to podcasts is free, but producing them does come with some costs. We've got a bit of marketing to cover, some production costs, some equipment. So thank you both so much for shouting us a coffee and an alcohol-free beer. It's hugely appreciated. Vegas says he's enjoying every minute of the podcast and loving the overall positive message that life without alcohol is everything and so much more. Vegas,
We couldn't agree more. And Carol says, Shazza and Freddie, you're doing an amazing job. Keep broadcasting. Carol, we certainly will. And you are doing an amazing job on your alcohol-free journey. Thank you both so much.
Just picking up on what you said earlier, Freddie, about sort of the manly books versus the girly books. I know I've spoken about when I first started out doing this, which is actually 555 days ago today.
Nice.
Which I'm very pleased with. The quit lit I read in the early stages was very much about, you know, helping you fill those gaps when you wanted to drink and all the rest of it. I then moved on into sort of more blokey territory. And like you, I read David Goggins' Can't Hurt Me. But one of my favourites has been Ant Middleton's Mind Over Muscle.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I know a lot of women follow him for...
Dreamy, absolutely dreamy. It makes me weak at the knees.
Seriously, it's so good.
I would just feel so safe in his arms.
But I read his book and that, for me, was amazing because that was all about, you know, it doesn't matter who you are or what you're doing. It wasn't about alcohol. It's about mental strength and mind over muscle and overcoming any sort of adversity in life. And that was one of the best books.
No, definitely. I've read that one as well. And I think it's a powerful story. I think the more people we can get out there and the more, I'm going to do inverted commas, which is terrible on a podcast, but the more strong men that are out there saying... Actually, what the most important thing is to look after your mind, and you spend so long in the gym, but maybe spend a bit more time on your brain and your personal development. Yeah. It's such a strong story.
I would have laughed at something like that 500 odd days ago. I'd have said, looking after my mind, no, it's not for me.
No,
personal
definitely.
Development, not
pour
for me.
Pour me another wine.
Yeah, completely. But actually, again, another game changer.
Another book that I've got to mention as well, because I think a lot of the books I've mentioned, they're the big hitters, they're the blockbusters of the personal development world. But one book that really made a difference for me that I've read quite recently is a book called Let's Do This by a guy called, he'd like to say it's Andy Ramage.
It is not Ramage.
No, I think it's a Ramage.
Ramage.
Ramage from Essex, isn't it? And Andy's got a great story. He used to work in finance in London. He really, certainly lots of it that I can relate to around that work hard, play hard lifestyle, always drinking, always partying, always working. And he really started to suffer from it in terms of his sleep was bad. He used to be a professional sportsman. His fitness was going down, but then he decided to take a break from alcohol and it really transformed his life. I think he's written a couple of books, but this Let's Do This, it's really a motivational playbook that people can use for any type of change. So it's, you know, whether it's losing weight or stepping up your career or trying to train for a half marathon, he almost takes you through it step by step, day by day. And it's a really positive book. And I think it can make a difference for any types of people.
I have got that book on my bedside table yet to read, but I'm really looking forward to reading that. What is he now? Is he 5, 6, 7 years alcohol free?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Completely teetotal. Absolutely. Credits that for turning everything around, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So to recap on the books we've mentioned today, and from my girly alcohol-free point of view, the books that I would suggest are absolute must-reads if you're considering embarking on an alcohol-free journey or just cutting down. This Naked Mind by Annie Grace. The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober by Catherine Gray. I think that's my favourite. The Sober Diaries by Claire Pooley, a superb story of a woman's battle with alcohol while she's overcoming breast cancer. Alcohol Explained by William Porter, and another guy whose books I've read, Craig Beck. And the names just escape me at the moment. He's got two. But search Craig Beck, you'll find those books. And another good read is Blackout by Sarah Hepola. Blackout, Remembering the Things I Drank to Forget. Not an easy read, but a really, really interesting read. Highly recommend that.
And my books were Tony Robbins' Awaken the Giant Within and David Goggins' Can't Hurt Me and Andy Ramage's Let's Do This. Also, not to forget the book by myself, which is available in zero bookshops everywhere. But if you come around my house, I will print you off a copy.
You could just read it to somebody.
Yeah, maybe I will.
The audio version with Freddie.
Maybe. If you want to send them to sleep and just talk about the... if you want to hear about my craziest partying days, then maybe we'll get it published one day.
If only you knew someone who could produce you a full audiobook at a very reasonable price.
What a background, Ben. I wonder who we could find. Awesome. That is episode 4 of Over the Influence, all wrapped up.
If you're interested in any of the books we've mentioned there, please do head over to our website, which is soundrebel.co.uk/overtheinfluence, and buy them direct via our site. We would really appreciate that, as it means a couple of quid would be sent our way. And basically, it'll keep this podcast going, and we'd be very, very grateful for your help.
And whilst we're putting all these requests in, please can you hit subscribe on your podcast app, and if possible, give us a rating and a comment. Ideally 5 stars, but we don't mind 4. That's it for now, and we look forward to speaking to you next week.
Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
My name's Nicole, and I'm from Brisbane in Australia. I was sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, and had just begun yet another attempt at a non-drinking stint when I discovered the Over the Influence podcasts. The timing couldn't have been better. I binge listened to them all, joined the OTI community, and have never looked back. If, like me, you've tried and tried to put down the plonk, but even after some success, keep finding yourself pulled back into the mire, join us in the OTI community, where we all share our stories of what works and what doesn't and where we're currently at. Everyone's just so full of understanding and inspiration. In a few weeks, I'll reach a whole year without a single drop, and I can't thank the OTI community enough. You guys rock and make all the difference in the booze-free world.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.